on this week's Talking with Topher. Why did they get rid of cursive? I believe it's so that people will no longer be able to read our Constitution. We're doing this on every level, and I don't think we understand what we are going to do to our society as a whole. But don't these jobs just seem boring? And now let's get into episode 207! Happening, TWT fans. It is so good to be back on this March 21st, 2024, and I'm so glad you all came back for some more. Before I get into anything today, let me start off the way I always do by saying thank you. Thank you to all the new subscribers. I mean, thank you so much. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Keep them coming. All right. The channel is starting to get some movement lately, and I'm very excited for it. So keep subscribing and make sure to copy and share that Linktree link with everybody you know. And of course, if you are just stopping by, checking out the podcast, or maybe somebody sent you that Linktree link and you decided to click it, well, decide to subscribe, all right? Everybody else is. So hit that subscribe button. It's the most important thing you can do for the podcast. It's the most important thing you can do for me. It keeps me coming back week after week. So hit that subscribe button, everybody. And then, of course, if you want your opportunity to be a guest or tell your story, or maybe you just need to tell a story that needs to be heard, talkinwithtopher@gmail.com. That's talkinwithtopher@gmail.com. Go ahead and send your email, audio, video, or type it out, but send it over to the official email of the podcast, talkinwithtopher@gmail.com. And then, of course, don't forget about the Linktree link. It's in the description below the video. You can click it and access everything TWT. It's just that easy. And now it's just that easy to share the podcast with everybody you know. Copy that link and send it off to everybody that you know, that you think is going to like it, that maybe you think would not like it at all. But just share that link, and let's make this channel bigger. I need your help to be doing that. This March, go to Slow Down Clothing, your go-to destination for everything you're going to need this summer. Are you ready to celebrate in style and gear up for a sunny season ahead? Look no further than Slow Down Clothing for all your wardrobe needs. Whether you're hitting the beach, tackling yard work, or simply enjoying the great outdoors, we've got you covered. And don't forget to use promo code TOPHER for an extra 10% off before you check out on your entire purchase. Simply visit us at slowdownclothing.bigcartel.com and start browsing our fabulous collection from women's leggings to kids' tees and adult tees. We offer a diverse range of apparel to suit every style and occasion. But that's not all. Our hats are truly exceptional. The superior embroidery and unique design set our hats apart from the rest. Not to mention, each hat features prints under the bill, adding an extra touch of personality to your look. At Slow Down Clothing, we take pride in constantly updating and refreshing our designs, so there's always something new and exciting to discover whenever you visit our website. Embrace the season with confidence and show off your unique style with our carefully curated selection of clothing and accessories. Don't miss out on this opportunity to elevate your wardrobe and make a statement. So what are you waiting for? Head over to slowdownclothing.bigcartel.com and explore our latest arrivals and treat yourself to something special and gear up for an unforgettable summer with Slow Down Clothing. Slow down, take a moment, and embrace the extraordinary. Visit us today and experience the difference at slowdownclothing.bigcartel.com. And don't forget to use the promo code T-O-P-H-E-R before you check out and get an extra 10% off your entire purchase today. Now that all being out of the way, we're going to get into Topher's topics. I've got some fun stuff for everybody right now. I'm very excited for a lot of the things that Magella and I and Elijah have been discussing. And I have got just some fun things for this segment today. The first one I got here is the Democratic mayor hands out $10,800 for economic equity program that funds lavish five-day trip to Miami. Wow, isn't that nice? I think that's so nice that they want to, you know, they want to write these people in charge a blank check and give them a vacation because it's so needed. They work so hard for us, and they're never getting what they're owed. They work so hard, and they just, you know, bend over backwards to make all of us so happy. So they need a vacation like this. Because we don't have people suffering and wanting to go on vacations, but they're too busy trying to afford rent and food that they can't do anything anymore. But these people that work so hard for all of us, for me and you, they need to go to Miami.
Quite often, these handouts actually trap people in a cycle of poverty. Washington, D.C. is in the middle of a violent crime wave. It's the least safe as it's been in decades now. Spending money on what effectively is a lotto for city residents is the wrong thing to be doing. I think what parents want, whether single moms, single dads, or married couples, what they want is a safe city. And what the mayor could do is actually take these resources that they're going to be distributing randomly to single moms, and you could hire, by my calculations, 25 full-time police officers. That would go a long way in some of these neighborhoods where you can't even walk safely at night. A quarter of high school graduates that are graduating functionally illiterate. And that's not the children's fault primarily, it's the government's fault. If they would teach basic financial literacy, well, guess what? You could have somebody making a middle-class income of $50,000 a year and saving a few thousand dollars annually on their own, and they could retire with upwards of $500,000 to their name at the age of 55. That's what the mayor should be focused on. The fault here lies with the mayor's office. $10,000 plus checks on a handful, on a few dozen individuals, while so many other thousands of DC middle class and lower middle class families are struggling to even get their children a proper education. It's outlandish. If you're growing up in a family that does not have an inordinate wealth and doesn't have $30,000 a year to send you to Sidwell Friends School in Northwest DC, you're likely going to be stuck in a school district in DC in which you have to face disorder, you have to face crime, you have to face lackluster teachers, and you're likely to graduate with a subpar education. And we're talking about sometimes an inability to do basic math and to do basic reading comprehension. And those are the core skills, that and a work ethic, that allow people to succeed in this country, even if they don't come from a wealthy family. This is not helping people build long-term wealth and to have long-term economic prosperity.
I mean, all right, so I was a little off on that. I guess it's not the government officials that are getting the vacation. They're doing it for specific individuals, which, you know, those individuals probably don't even need the helping hand. And that is part of the problem, everybody. Handing out free money never works and never will. Every single person that is struggling for money, at times myself included, it's because they don't know how to manage the money they do make. I don't care if you're making minimum wage and have a nice paying job. If you can't manage the money you do make to get ahead, then you will end up below where you should be. Some will pay off bills, but even most of the people will end up spending it rather than managing it to get ahead. That was written by Patrick0327. On the 23rd of February. Now, this is so true. It's so true because if people do not know how to manage their money, because they don't teach this in school, they got rid of cursive, for Christ's sakes. Why did they get rid of cursive? I believe it's so that people will no longer be able to read our Constitution. Our Constitution is written in cursive, and if you can't read the Constitution, you can't understand the Constitution. Therefore, if you don't understand the Constitution, we can just change the Constitution to fit our needs because you don't even know what it says anymore. These are all strategically placed ideas that they are going to implement over time. They're going to take out more and more of the basics out of schooling so that you don't even understand how a bank works, how to write a check, how to balance your books, how to keep your money, how to pay your bills properly, how to manage your funds that are coming in and manage the funds that need to go out. And we are creating a society that just spends and doesn't pay attention instead of paying attention on what they're spending. So when we do this, we create more dependence. Again, going back to the government and having our society, our people, dependent on our government is what they want. If we can make them more and more dependent on us, then we get to write the laws. We get to tell them what to do. We get to tell them that they can't do this, they can't do this, and they can't do this. Because there's not anything in there that they're going to tell us we can do. They're going to keep telling us we can't. Because all the stuff that we can do, they want to take that away from us. So, again, they're giving out funds to people who don't need it or people who don't understand how to utilize it. Therefore, it's just putting them further and further into debt, which is making them more reliable on the government. And hopefully, you know, the government is hoping that they're going to get more people that want to hold their hand. And I think it's working. I really do think it's working, and it's really sad. Let's see here. So, construction workers being replaced by AI robot bricklayers. I mean, holy shit, everybody. There is going to be no jobs left. No jobs because AI is going to take over everything.
Capable of working on site. Fitted with advanced sensors, computer vision, and small cranes, the monumental construction robots are so efficient that they could be replacing human beings very soon. Other upsides to construction robots, well, they could help with labor shortages and rising costs.
So as you can see, I mean, this is going to be happening everywhere. Every industry, everywhere. We're going to be at a point where we can't work anymore. Because robots and AI and all these things are going to take over for us. They're going to wipe out writing jobs. Sora is going to wipe out video editing and writers and screenplays and all these other types of digital things that we're doing. It's all going to be robots. It's no longer going to be humans. We're not just doing this to keep us safe or to eliminate dangerous jobs. We're doing this on every level, and I don't think we understand what we are going to do to our society as a whole. We are actually, I believe, at this point, helping the government get what they want, right? Because if we don't have any jobs, because all AI and robots are doing them all, we're all out of work. We don't make any more money. And now we have to survive, right? We have to buy food. We have to buy groceries. We have to pay our bills. We have to do things. So now the government, I guess, gets what they want at the end of the day by giving us a what is that called? Something income? A government-based income, I believe is what it's called. And what? You know, it just makes me upset because, like, what are we going to do about it? How do we get ahead of this? How do we even live with it? I don't think anybody's really looking into how to do these things. So for me, it's kind of scary because eventually it's going to get to a point where there's not going to be anything for anyone to do. Which, again, I have said that, you know, I'd rather stay home and podcast all day. But I also want to make a good living. I don't want a universal based income. Because what if that universal based income isn't based off of what we're paying? And they're just like, oh, well, you and your wife make this, so the government will give you this. And it's like half of what I actually make. Well, how am I supposed to pay for my house and all my stuff? They're not going to be able to give everybody an income that covers everything that we're doing. So we're all still going to have to make some money somehow, some way, the way that this is built. But like trying to switch over to EV, I mean, this is going to be very difficult. Transition, I guess. We're all going to have to figure it out because eventually you're either going to be working next to robots or you're going to be out of work because of robots or AI, either or. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. This one here is 13 minutes long. This is 10 careers AI will create by 2030. So supposedly this AI, as much as it's taking away from us, it's supposed to be also building jobs for us. Now, we're going to play probably the first minute of this, and then hopefully it gets into some of those things.
Intelligence is expected to create a wide range of new career opportunities. These jobs will require a combination of technical skills and human qualities like empathy and creativity. By the end of this video, you'll discover 10 new careers that AI will create by 2030 and how you can prepare ahead of the game. Let's start. Number 1. AI Engineers and Developers. AI will significantly contribute to the emergence of AI engineers and developers in the job market by automating certain aspects of their work and enhancing their capabilities. Imagine AI as a powerful assistant to these professionals, aiding in tasks such as code generation, algorithm optimization, and data analysis. Just as a chef uses advanced kitchen tools to streamline the cooking process, AI will assist engineers and developers by handling routine coding tasks, allowing them to focus on the creative and strategic aspects of AI system design. Complex problem-solving scenarios. As businesses increasingly rely on AI-driven solutions in the data analytics process, automating tasks from pre-processing to visualization. Unlike traditional methods limited by historical analysis and biased patterns, AI-driven analysts will excel in extracting insights and predicting customer behavior with unmatched accuracy. This career demands skills in developing advanced predictive models, allowing analysts to uncover intricate correlations within content, minimizing potential content moderation processes. The speed at which AI processes large amounts of data surpasses human capabilities, enabling swift identification and removal of harmful content, minimizing potential harm or negative consequences, and overseeing and refining AI-based moderation systems. Number 4. AI-enabled customer service reps. Soon, AI-enabled customer service reps will redefine the way businesses interact with their customers. Leveraging. Number 5. AI trainers and coaches. These professionals will play a crucial role in guiding and optimizing AI models to enhance their performance and adaptability. Much like traditional trainers, AI trainers will focus on refining the capabilities of machine learning algorithms. To put this in perspective, AI trainers will analyze data to identify patterns and teach AI systems to recognize and respond to specific inputs. They will fine-tune algorithms through a process akin to coaching, helping the AI learn more effectively. Strategic planning, helping organizations harness the full benefits of AI while minimizing risks. With specialized knowledge in AI applications across. Number 7. AI-enabled translators and interpreters. In 2030, the role of AI-enabled translators and interpreters will thrive as a collaborative partnership between technology and human expertise. These professionals will leverage advanced AI tools to streamline their work, receiving intelligent suggestions, automating repetitive tasks, and accessing vast databases of specialized terminology. Rather than AI-assisted medical professionals. Looking ahead to 2030, one of the most promising career paths in the medical field is the emergence of AI-assisted medical professionals. These professionals will work together with advanced AI systems to enhance patient care, seamless integration into digital health systems. Number 9. AI call center agents. A career that's likely to flourish as we look towards 2030 is the role of AI call center agents. These AI-driven entities, equipped with advanced capabilities, will redefine customer service dynamics. 10. AI-enabled marketers and advertisers. AI-enabled marketers and advertisers will play a pivotal role in shaping the advertising landscape of 2030. As the demand for personalized and data-driven campaigns continues to rise, professionals who can harness the power of AI in marketing will be in high demand.
I mean, this is absolutely insane. So basically, you will be working with AI. You'll be working with the computers. You'll be doing the programs. And these are the jobs that will be available to you in 2030. So we're all going to be customer representatives. We're going to answer phone calls and we're going to help assist AI and what it's doing just to keep making it better. So I don't know. These seem like really, really, really boring jobs. I would not want to be working in a freaking cubicle. I would not want to be in an office building. I would not want to be doing any of these jobs, man. It sounds boring as shit. So if this is what the future holds, and now we've eliminated construction workers, and we've eliminated truck drivers, and we've eliminated so many other positions that keep you out there, keep you moving around, get you interacting with different people. Basically, that's going to be all taken away. I'm going to be working in an office building, you know, maybe talking to somebody on the other line. But at the end of the day, it could just be the AI talking to somebody on the line until you get somebody like me who needs to talk to somebody and we keep hitting the representative button. And then I get a person to avoid the AI monotony of just it not understanding what I'm saying right now. And eventually it's going to understand what I'm saying. And eventually it may be like talking to a person. But I guess until then, these are the changes we need to make in order to integrate with it. But don't these jobs just seem boring? Is this anything that you are striving for today to become? All 10 of those jobs, boring. Just boring. So I don't think this is a bright future. This is definitely something that is it's going to be really difficult for all of us to adjust to this, I think. There's going to be some out there, and I know the younger generation loves their computers. They love this integration. They love where it's going, and that's great. But, man, I miss books. Man, I miss calling somebody and talking to a person. And I really miss human interaction, you know, at the end of the day. That's probably one of my favorite things. It's one of my favorite things about my job is that I'm constantly in a different location talking to different people. And that is something that all of us need in our lives. And with this AI, I just see that slowly diminishing. And for me, that's a scary future. Scary future. All right, everybody, I got some good news for you because the CDC finally drops the 5-day COVID isolation guidelines. Isn't this exciting? They finally figured it out. Ooh, we don't need to quarantine for 5 days. No shit, we never did. Just like the masks don't work, stop wearing them. standing 6 feet apart doesn't work. Stop doing it. When you get sick, you're sick. It's just the end. It just is what it is. You get over it and fucking move on.
10:15, a shifting guidance from the CDC. Multiple reports say those COVID isolation guidelines are about to change.
Meaning people who get sick will be able to return to school or work much faster. Boston 25 News reporter Lisa Pappas, you asked a doctor at Mass General about this.
Only took 4 years.
Yeah, you know, these guidelines for COVID-19 haven't changed since 2021.
Oh, what? They haven't changed since 2021? Oh, that's weird. They were fucking retarded and we should have changed them a long time ago.
And it's been a couple years, so some doctors agree it's time for an update.
I trust the CDC, and I know that they're using
best
data to make this decision.
Dr. Ruan Barnabas is the chief of the infectious disease division at MGH. She says the CDC is working on new guidance, which will likely come out this spring, that could say people will no longer need to isolate for 5 days after testing positive for COVID-19.
What does this mean for schools or offices? You know, do students or employees go right back to school or to work right after they test positive? And is there concern for that? Or is it fine if they're feeling okay?
So this aligns
doesn't matter.
With the guidance for flu and
you're sick, you're sick.
RSV. So as long as you're fever free for 24 hours without medication and symptom free over that time period, then it should be safe.
Dr. Barnabas says immunity to COVID has changed with more vaccinations.
That is the exact same thing we used to do, everybody. When we got sick with the flu, we waited until the fever broke, and then we went back out into society. So scary, huh? It's so scary. What do you mean? But you were still sick. Yeah, that's the way the fucking world worked. This is so goddamn fucking retarded. I am so tired of this. It makes me so angry and so happy at the same time because I'm angry that this continued for so long, but I'm so happy that I guess they finally came to their fucking senses and figured it out. I figured this out after the second shot. Where is everybody else on this? Please comment. Write in. Say something. This is goddamn to be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. A respiratory virus where we are still, they just lifted this 2 days ago. We were still having people stay home for 5 days. I mean, it is just so stupid.
And infections, so the guidelines should change too.
There's also cost to isolation, of course. You know, we've seen with absences from schools that test scores have decreased, and we know not only education and the outcomes in terms of productivity and learning are important, but also our human connections are important and connections to each other.
But yes, some health officials worry about eliminating that isolation period when COVID has been deadlier than viruses like the flu, and some suffer from long COVID symptoms.
No, it has not. That is a lie. That is an absolute 100% lie. Because everybody who died from COVID, the hospital's incentive was to say that they died from COVID so that they could get reimbursements and money. So the CDC guidelines caused the medical industry to make false deaths of COVID so that they could get money. It was all an incentive. So half of the people that died of COVID were already dying of something else. But because they died with COVID, then they died of COVID. This is the fucking problem, everybody. This is the problem. This is why this needs to end. Because they keep falsifying why people are dying. If you have 15 comorbidities, you get COVID and you pass away in the hospital, you died of COVID. That is the most retarded thing I've ever heard of in my life. No, you didn't die of COVID. You died of a heart attack. You died of, I don't know, exasperation. I don't make up anything that you can die from today. But because you had COVID at the time of your death, you died of COVID. That's why there's more COVID deaths than anything else. I can't even watch this anymore. It's fucking stupid. So I'm glad that they're finally coming to their senses, I guess, and eliminating the 5 day. But to sit here and say that this has been the most deadly virus ever, when everybody had incentive to say that everybody that walked into the hospital died of COVID, this is so, So aggravating. All right. So we're going to go into my Twitter, and I have got some really interesting things here that I want to get through kind of quickly. So let's do this. This one here I felt was really interesting.
Holding my hands an internal document from Pfizer Laboratories, which was given to us by a very special person who we have contact with, called reverse engineering the source code of the BioNTech Pfizer SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. And this is very, very critical because it outlines the chemical and the biological processes which were very, very carefully manipulated in order to be able to produce an mRNA that also contained a very, very dangerous toxin to the human body. Do you know what that toxin is? That toxin is called graphene oxide. And every single one of these vaccines in a 30 milligram shot contains 15 billion nanoparticles or lipid carrier particles within the mRNA sequence.
Okay.
15 billion nanoparticles.
That's crazy.
Now let me tell you how graphene oxide works when it gets into the body. Because when the spike protein then binds itself to our blood cells and so on, graphene oxide then starts to build a structure. And this is why we have people with blood clots and we have people with heart failure, sudden heart failure, and so on. The patent databases that we have accessed proves that COVID-19 and COVID-19 vaccines are in fact a bioweapon. And how do we support that? Because we have a copy of the mysteriously deleted Wuhan databases that tell us everything. Thank you very
really? Much. Really? See, this is what I'm talking about, people. We need to get more on this page. I'm telling you, this stuff was horrible for us. It was, I don't know if it was a bioweapon per se, but I won't say that it wasn't either, because I'm telling you right now, you know, we got people manipulating mosquitoes. These deadly river viruses and stuff are becoming more and more prominent. There's too many rich people buying up all the land to control all the farming. So if you don't think that they are in the middle of trying to implement this control over us, this is my theme this week, everybody. I am so done with being under their thumb. This is something that I'm going to be doing for myself here to go off of this vaccine shit. The vaccine detox that they are now releasing. What is graphene oxide? A lot of people have concerning questions regarding COVID vaccines, and these suspicions are not baseless. The negative things about COVID shots that we hear often are not just rumors. In fact, there is something wrong behind the scenes of which most of us are not aware. Let's see. The culprit is known as graphite oxide. After knowing what graphite oxide is and what it does to your body, you will also learn why graphite oxide detoxification is necessary. Without further ado, let's get started. Graphene oxide is a substance that is made up of carbon atoms. These carbon atoms form bonds in repeated hexagonal manner. It's two-dimensional because of its very thin nature. It's a superb conductor for heat and electricity, and it is one of the strongest substances in the world. It's very expensive and hard to find and produce. This right here is an opportunity, and if you wanted to check it out a little bit more, I've already sent them an email, and they couldn't say whether or not it was going to eliminate the things that are in my body, but they said that it was going to help flush some of the problematic things that I could have acquired from the vaccine. But I didn't get any boosters, and I didn't continue anything after the second shot. It has been a year and 6 months since that shot for me. So supposedly, according to what I've been reading up on, the spike protein should have left my body. But with this binding agent, this graphene oxide in my system, it is absolutely 100% possible that it won't leave unless I get rid of this graphene oxide. My next one here is on the Cat Williams episode of Joe Rogan. It was so good. It was such a good episode. And if you are into conspiracy theories and you are into all the things that I'm talking about today, then you are going to want to check out this Joe Rogan episode. Now, there is a 4-minute clip here. I don't want to play the whole entire thing, but I think there's a couple spots in it that should be elaborated on because this is pretty amazing. And Cat Williams, I was very impressed with where he went with the conversation. I was very impressed with the way that he conducted himself and how much, I never realized how much of this stuff he was into himself. There are a few things where I was like, wow, that's a really out there. But again, not something I'm going to ignore. It's just, I've never heard it put this way. And I was like, man, I wonder if, you know, he's onto something, because I don't want to just say that he's crazy and, you know, he's a conspiracy theorist. I want to look into what he's talking about and see if I can see what he's seeing and understand what he's saying, because he may not be that far off from the truth, even though the next episode, you know, he's kind of poking fun at Cat Williams, in a sense. If you watched the episode after that. But he does say how much he appreciated him coming on the podcast, but it didn't stop him from kind of poking a couple holes in some of his theories and what he had said during this interview with Cat Williams. So I thought it was very interesting, the whole thing. But I wanted to play this.
The ingredients list. It's like, if you want flour, you need wheat. You're going to have to get the wheat. And if you want to be able to make movies about certain subjects, you have to be willing to work with some people. That, you know, it would be nice if you made it so that this is what we're trying to accomplish. And this is showing the negative side of this other society. And this is the and this is our hero. It's our hero who's going to go do America's bidding and go over there. And you're like, okay. And those movies are successful. And so they continue this relationship. And you become a bit of a propaganda arm for the government. And in turn, they don't fuck with you.
Right. But that's what makes information so powerful is, you know, you don't care how people feel about the ritual. That's why I had gotten so much information. Be clear. So like when I was like, oh, these guys are wearing dresses. And everybody's like, oh, he keeps talking about people wearing dresses. No, it's
that
not.
That is a weird thing.
It's not like that. Look at it from a different way. Look at it. Show me one person that ever wore a dress in Hollywood unsuccessfully. That's how you understand what a ritual is. Mm.
You can see what he's saying right there is that he saw people wearing dresses in Hollywood and becoming successful, and saw this 20 years ago where men wearing dresses were not unsuccessful in Hollywood. Transgenderism was happening, and it was something that he foresaw for our future because of the way Hollywood was conducting itself. It's very interesting. It makes a lot of sense. I'm telling you, just watch the episode. It's really interesting. You don't have to believe everything he says, but just think about it. Think about what he says, how he says it, and then use your own mind to agree or disagree. But whether you agree or disagree, it's pretty interesting what he saw, you know, 20 years ago, what he's seeing today, and how he feels about everything. It was, I'm telling you, we are closer to the truth today than ever, and they keep trying to make us feel like we're further and further away from the truth by all their propaganda and all their lies and the thing I was just talking about with the CDC and stuff like that. So there's a lot of people out there like Cat Williams, like Magella, like myself, that are just sick of what they're trying to feed us. And we're looking into everything today because I'm tired of being lied to, and I will not accept what you tell me as the truth anymore. And I think there needs to be more people like this today, because the less people that are out there asking questions and looking into it and not believing them, the more they're going to get what they want. They will. They will eventually win. Now, I want to talk about some DEWs real quick, because these things, I'm telling you, they're real. And this right here is somewhat proof. This is live footage. And this is Biden kind of opening up this. And I was blown away. I mean, you got to listen to it. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And I'm very upset because I just got a new roof and I just got solar panels put on it. And now I feel like I got the wrong one.
Because a lot of, if you fly over these areas that are burned to the ground, you'll see in the midst of 20 homes that are just totally destroyed, one home sitting there because they had the right roof on it.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Now, that is where it stops. There's nothing after that.
And anyway, since I took office, FEMA's provided Texas alone.
Yeah. So there's nothing else on that. That's what he says. You know, he's talking about FEMA for the last second. So what does he mean? What's the right roof? Now, if you look into DEWs and you start looking at all the possible DEW destruction, Hawaii, all kinds of places. It's everywhere. You have to look into it. Hawaii was like one of the bigger ones that they are really pointing this towards. But if you look at all the damage done and you start scrolling around those areas and you start noticing all these places that are not burned down and they have like a lights blue, it's like a sky blue roof. Supposedly, this is the roof that you need, because that roof deters the DEW and doesn't allow it to penetrate and set fire to the building. Now, do I feel like I'm talking nonsense right now? I do. I do feel that way. But at the same time, every picture of these areas in complete devastation, the only thing that survives is houses with these color roofs or buildings or establishments. And start looking around. Start looking out there and see what buildings you see with this color roof. It will shock you, because I've been noticing a lot of government buildings putting these roofs on. What does that tell you? What are we preparing for? Are they going to completely devastate us so that we all have to move into like a 15-minute city? I'm telling you, I don't think I'm that far off. I don't think I'm that far off. So this here is a picture of the DEW on the front of a plane. And you can see this giant laser mounted on the front of this aircraft. And that means this thing can take off, fly around, and specifically target certain areas and buildings without this color roof. I didn't realize it was just on the front of like a jumbo jet. I thought this was like some laser that was like, you know, out in our solar system or out with our satellites up in space, and it was shooting down. This is more realistic, because if the firmament is real and you can't leave our atmosphere, right, and you can't get to space, and none of our satellites are in space, space isn't real, and our satellites are actually attached to balloons, just so difficult for me to swallow. But this would make more sense of why they're capable of hovering towards the firmament, not leaving it, and being able to cause such devastation without it being a laser being shot from space. I don't know, everybody. It is pretty crazy. But then I'm going to show you this right here. And what I'm going to show you is I'm going to show you a video of this actually happening. Now, it doesn't tell you where it is, but, I mean, I've watched this video 4 times now, and, man, it is really, really hard to say that this isn't happening.
What the f*** is that, dude? What? That's it.
Now, these videos over here are just replaying what you just saw. So as it keeps playing, you'll see more and more of them pop up. But it's just so that you can see when it happened throughout this video. And it's very strategically done with the thunder, lightning, kind of hiding its noise. But there is a moment in time where you can hear the noise.
Big explosion.
Heard an explosion. I mean, what is that green beam? It's crazy. It's insane. I've never seen this before, and I've never seen it captured like this. But boy, oh boy, where'd that laser come from in the middle of a thunderstorm? Right? Now, pay attention. You're going to start to see the lightning, and 3, 2, 1, beam.
What the
fuck is that noise? Has anybody else ever heard that noise before? Look at how big and bright it is. You know, you can see it down here in the bottom. This was the second strike. And then this was the first strike. But that right there, I've never seen that laser before. And what a crazy noise. Doesn't that remind you of, what's that alien invasion movie? War of the Planets or War of the Worlds or whatever. And they used to do the laser beams, and it sounded like that. If you go back and watch the old show, I'm sure you'll find it. But what is that? What is causing it? Is it the DEW? And what was that explosion? Like, I'm going to have to find out where this happened. Hopefully, there's updates on this. And people, you know, the next morning got some ground footage of where that explosion came from, maybe what burned down, what was targeted. There was something specifically targeted in this area. So, I don't know, it's kind of scary that they have this type of technology and that we don't really have an idea of how to protect ourselves from this. And I don't think they want us to know how to protect ourselves from this. But go around, check out a lot of stuff on DEW, check out the roof thing, and check this out, because these are real strategic weapons that they are using on us. And how long is it going to be before we're all forced out of our homes and made to live in a 15-minute city where you will be happy and you will have nothing? Scary. It's a very, very scary world I think we're all getting into. So I'm going to end this podcast today on a funny note. I thought this was really great. This is the Fire Department Chronicles. And these are things that happen to paramedics, but it's done in a very fun way. So here, check this out.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and start this IV. Don't move, okay?
Okay. Ow! I'm so sorry.
Did blood just go in your mouth? It definitely went in your mouth.
I need peroxide. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, man. I mean, it could be worse, you know?
I mean,
how could this be any worse?
I have no clue. All right, I'm going to go ahead and start this IV.
I think it's so funny.
Hey, sir, you having any neck or back pain from the car accident?
Yeah, man, I can barely move. I think both my legs are broken. And probably my back, too.
Yeah, that's crazy, because I could have sworn I saw you running around on your cell phone when we pulled up.
Nah, bro, that wasn't me, man. That was somebody else.
Mr. Smith, your attorney is going to meet you at the hospital.
Hey, did you happen to notice that the other driver's been recording you the entire time?
I can't believe this really happens.
You know what, man? I think I could drive myself down to the hospital.
I'll go get the refusal form.
Like, if you want to check it out, it's funny as fuck. But it's at Fire Department Chronicles. I think this is YouTube Shorts. But super funny. I like the way that the guy puts the stuff together. Again, thank you, Magella, for always including me in all of this. I find it to be so much fun. And also, thank you for allowing me to use it on the podcast. Without you, I don't want to ever use anybody else's stuff without sending out a thank you. I think that's very important today. We need to give props to the people that help do a lot more work than I do. All right. I just get sent stuff. I check it out. I find it funny and I like to talk about it, but it is because of the people like Magella and Elijah and everybody who comes onto the podcast and, you know, helps me out and helps this podcast grow. That's where the real thanks is needed, because without all of you out there, this podcast would not be where it is today, and I will never forget that. So that all being said, everybody, I want to say thank you again to all of my subscribers. Thank you to everybody who helps the podcast grow, who sends content, for everything you do, giving thumbs up, commenting. It is the most important thing you can do as a subscriber. So again, I want to thank all of you for doing what you do on a regular basis. And then, of course, if you are new to the podcast, you're stopping by, checking it out, or maybe you got sent the Linktree link, remember to subscribe, everybody. All right, with all the subscribers growing, let's keep it going. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and then take that Linktree link and share it with everybody you know. And then, of course, if you want your opportunity to be a guest or tell your story, and maybe there's a story that you just need to tell that needs to be heard, go ahead and send it over to talkingwithtopher@gmail.com. That's talkingwithtopher@gmail.com. I greatly appreciate everybody getting involved. I want to see more guests come on. So put in your email, audio, video, or type it out, but send it over to talkingwithtopher@gmail.com, the official email of the podcast. And then, of course, don't forget to go and check out the Linktree. It gives you access to everything TWT. It's just that easy by clicking it. And then, of course, copy, share, and spread it around. Help me make the podcast bigger. And I just hope everybody out there enjoys your Thursday. I hope you have an enjoyable rest of your weekend. And as always, I will talk to you later.